You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at ultron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Well, it's time to go offshore because it's Tuesday with Mark Wertman, CEO of Unum Capital. And just to remind you again, he's built a trading platform for Classic Business listeners. So if you want to begin trading offshore, head on down to trade1027.co.za. It's all kinds of useful information and tips, FAQs and the like. Evening, Mark. Focus this week really shifts from central banks to politicians. We've got the G20 meeting, all eyes on Trump and Xi Jinping. What do you expect the outcome to be?
Those ones where I think the market's going to drift into that meeting at the end of the week, and it's one of those ones that's difficult to call. I feel both sides need to walk away with a win, and I don't know how they're going to achieve that. Trump needs a win because he needs to get re-elected, and he needs to show his constituents that he's come away from this China with something, and China's not going to back down. So it'll be interesting on Monday to see what the markets do and digest how this meeting goes.
What we did have recently was something called quadruple witching, which sounds rather spooky. Why does quadruple witching matter to traders?
So I'm a derivatives trader, and there's this every quarter you need to mark to market against something to get your valuation. So this happens in the US. It happens on the third Friday of every quarter, and that was last Friday. And that's where the futures and options on the index and the futures and options on the single stocks all get a terminal value. And what's important about that is basically there's a huge amount of volume goes to the market. It's about 85% more volume goes through that on than a normal day. So it's really about setting a price. And we also have one of our own futures close out. Ours was last Thursday, a whole lot smaller than the US one.
A whole lot smaller, and as we saw from the JSE's trading update yesterday, volumes on our own market have been abysmal, which is not great for traders. When we see market turnover in the region of 14, 15, today was 16 billion, we really should be almost double that, and our markets have just been completely depressed.
It's the reason why we tell clients to go offshore, because we are such a small market. I can't remember, it's less than 1% of the total global market cap. We tend to have clients chat to us about going offshore and trading other instruments, not necessarily equities. They trade currencies, commodities, individual stocks offshore. The universe is so much greater.
I was chatting to Matthew Auerbach on Friday about AI and quant-based strategies in FX pairs. There is just such a universe of options for you out there. In fact, you could even find a way to invest in Elon Musk's SpaceX if you wanted to. Did you watch the SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket launch?
I did watch it. Quite impressive. I think it went off reasonably well. I think they managed to retrieve 2 out of 3 of the booster rockets from the sounds of it.
And the fairing.
And it's amazing how much they're going to reuse and how that should help that stock. You know, this throwaway sort of technology is a thing of the past in the space age. So there's only really two ways you can get access to SpaceX, because unfortunately it hasn't IPO'd and it doesn't look like it will in the near future. So Fidelity, one of their funds, actually owns a piece of it via code FBGRX. And then Alphabet, many years ago, invested. So you can actually get a little bit of SpaceX via holding Alphabet. And we do hold Alphabet in our iShares technology ETF.
Well, that's one of the reasons we hold it. I know there, if you watch and follow FinTwit, there's a lot of conjecture around Elon Musk and Tesla in particular. But according to PitchBook, SpaceX is one of the most valuable private companies in the world.
Yeah, a third only now to Uber and Airbnb. And we've seen Uber and come to the market, and hopefully one day so will SpaceX.
Now, Mark, gold bugs are happy again, and here's some useless trivia for you. The fact that we like to say all that glitters is not gold, but the original was actually all that glisters is not gold, and it was used by the bard, no less, William Shakespeare in The Merchant of Venice back in 1596. There was a line that says, all that glisters is not gold. Well, anyway, gold is glistering at the moment. It's an interesting one because gold tends to divide a lot of opinion. How do you like to invest in gold? I think one should have a well-diversified portfolio. Do you go directly into the metal? Do you go into the gold companies? How do you like to trade?
So I've taken a bit of a lashing from clients in the last week or so because we haven't had gold in our portfolio, and we normally do. We normally have a gold punt on, and we've missed this bounce, even though there was that technical level that we were watching at about 1350. And what went through that, we should have jumped on the pivot. So our preferred is not to buy gold stocks. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with buying gold stocks. I do know one of my colleagues, an old stockbroker, used to say a gold mine is just a hole in the ground. And unfortunately, that's how I view it. I mean, and it comes with labor problems, electricity problems. It comes with all sorts of things. And normally, there's a currency issue as well because it's in ZAR. So I tend to avoid buying gold stocks. I tend to trade the golds via gold futures or gold CFDs. And if you're not sophisticated enough to do that, the gold ETF, the offshore ETF, is a fantastic way of getting exposure to dollar gold. And I'm talking about dollar gold, not rand gold. There's nothing wrong with a local gold ETF. It's just in rands. And I have a problem with that because it tends to run in the opposite direction to the gold price.
Yeah.
The other way of doing it is if you're a little bit more bullish, like some of our listeners are at the moment, you can actually go and trade the 3x gold ETF share, and there is one, and that'll give you 3x the movement of the gold price.
And on the other side, you also get shorts as well that you can use if you want to pair those up as a bit of an interesting trading strategy.
So I came across a trading strategy the other day, and it's two ETFs that Nugget and Dust, and I love it. And basically, all this chap does is he's either long gold or short gold. So he's long gold using Nugget, and he's short gold if he wants to go short. He uses the Dust ETF, and basically he just switches. That's all he does between the two, and he seems to be doing quite well.
Now, you sent me a very interesting story about the Amazon effect today. On the same day that Jeremy Sampson sent me the Brand Finance Africa's ranking for the top 100 tech brands, and surprise, surprise, Amazon has just remained on top of that and just strengthened its lead. Its brand value has surged 25%. It's at a record here of $187.9 billion, and that's $30 billion more than second place Apple. And when Amazon says it's coming after your sector, it looks like everyone else in the sector seems to wilt. Who's the latest in Jeff Bezos' firing line?
So I'm pleased he's not coming after stockbroking yet, otherwise I'd be out of a job, but I'm sure that's coming. So at the moment he's taken a pot shot at the professional beauty store, as he's calling it. And the knock-on effect was you've seen some of those stocks down 17% on day number one. And this is kind of very similar to when he said he was going into the grocery market business, and Walmart, Costco, Target all were off on that day. I mean, that's a massive market for him to have a dip at, and he's only 4% of the grocery market, so there's a huge amount of room there. So let's see what market they move into next.
Now, how are we doing in our portfolio? I see on a headline level, 5.5% against the benchmark, which is down 1.3, so not too bad.
I'm quite pleased with that. We've had a couple of good punts that have helped out. That oil punt that we put on last week, and we were very fortunate. Remember, we were talking about war, a little bit of war, and we weren't seeing it come through on the gold price and the oil price. Well, it certainly did, and oil popped. And we made 30% on that oil punt, so that helped a little bit. So, yeah, we're up 5.5%. I've decided to lighten a little bit. The two new positions we put on last week, Salesforce and Facebook, both in the money. I've switched now from Walmart, which we're up 9%, into Amazon. I do buy into the story. I'm dumping BMW. I'm dumping Raytheon. It just hasn't. It's gone up a little bit for us, but it just hasn't done what I hoped to do. So, yeah, quite active. We've done 19 trades so far. And we've closed 6 and done 2 partial closes. So I'm quite pleased with it. So
I'm sure you are. Mark up 34% on that oil trade. If you're wondering why, you could hear sunshine and unicorns and rainbows in Mark Wertman's voice this week. Now you know why. If you've got any questions for Mark on how to trade offshore, tweet us at Classic1027 or send us your WhatsApp on 066-470-1872. Let's cross now to Kotlejo for the latest traffic.